You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Patricia Eltinge with Kelly Ward here tonight for Empowered Communication and the Dr. Pat Allen One Institute, which is all about communication and relationships and how all of this affects every aspect of our life. Now, just to remind you, this is a live call-in show, and it is totally anonymous. And the number to call in is 323-203-0815. And again, it's anonymous, and we'll take all your questions. I want to tell you a little bit about the One Institute, our sponsor. And this is Dr. Pat Allen's One Institute, which is about communicating with personal integrity to help all individuals to achieve their goals, as well as to enrich their personal and professional relationships and create win-win situations in every one of their day-to-day activities. And Dr. Allen, her book is Getting to I Do, just to remind you all. And if you want to more information about the Want Institute and the groups and private instruction that are available, it's info@drpatallen.com. So it's info@drpatallen.com. And the phone number at the office is 949-723-0338. So, hi, Kelly, are you here?
I am here. How are you, Patricia?
Good. Here we are together again to take our wonderful callers who bring us very interesting questions, right?
They certainly do. And I'm always so curious about what is going on with our ladies. And I love the updates. The updates are so much fun.
Right. That's what makes us feel good, that when people are making progress with what they've learned from us. So we also have some call-ins, some write-ins when people, this show is archived. So sometimes people listen to it after it's originally aired, and then they write in questions that we can sometimes address on the show. And I have something here. Kelly, do you have any to do also?
I may have a couple, but please go ahead. Let's hear what you've got.
Okay. Well, here's someone who says, I'm a big fan of your radio show. Great job, blah, blah, blah. She says she was listening, and this is what happens. People misconstrue what they hear, but we'll straighten it out. I've been listening to Dr. Pat Allen's radio show, and she says that men are not afraid of women who just say that they cannot have sex with them and give all kinds of reasons why, but that the men are afraid of women who do say they cannot have sex with them and still go to bed with them and not have sex with them without intercourse. Well, let's straighten this out, because right, Sally?
Yeah.
It depends on what you're wanting out of life here. If you're wanting to be partnered, whether it's marriage with a license or a agreement partnership to be in a long-term relationship, well, there are ways we go about it, and it is, you just say to them, I'm not going to have sex with you until you promise me continuity, exclusivity, and longevity. And so if they're interested in on the same page as you are in those things, and I can break those, what those mean, then you know you're leading to a mutual goal that both of you appreciate. So, of course, all men want to have sex as soon as they can get it, but it's up to the woman to set the standards. And the continuity part is, a man must promise that once you have, well, I should say the male of the species, I mean, the male energy, not the male species, the male energy in the relationship, whether it's male or female, will, oh, we have a call. We'll go back to that caller. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Miss Patricia. This is Kelly. I work with
okay.
you.
Okay.
Hey there. I'm calling in to give an update and to get your thoughts on something we had previously discussed with my 53-year-old who was going to get a high-vibe letter.
Oh, let's have it.
So I have, when we last talked, you had asked me how long I want to wait and put myself on hold for this guy to come back after he was not willing to negotiate with me.
Negotiate continuity, longevity,
yes.
monogamy leading towards marriage. Okay.
Yes. And that was the same day. And then the next day I woke up and I was just completely done with him. And I don't want that feeling of that door being open. So I want to reframe my high bye letter to just be a bye letter. Mm-hmm. But I'm mm-hmm. also struggling with, like, I just don't, it's painful to even write the letter. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to like communicate with him or hear back from him or anything. I know it's just going to be all excuses.
No, you're predicting, you're forecasting. That's called future forecast. You're not a soothsayer. So this is for your personal growth to be able to do this and mm-hmm. close the door properly and for once and for all. So what do you want to say? I appreciate, first of all, you thank them for the time spent. However, you don't feel like you're on the same page with what you want out of life. You're not on the same page at the same time anyway. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
Dr. Allen says you don't even have to send the letter. The letter's really supposed to be cathartic for you. Mm-hmm. If you send it, that's an option, but you don't have to.
Well, I kind of left the door open with him. He said, like, I'll reach back out, you know. I said anything other than a yes is a no, pretty much. And so when I hear back from you, I'll assume that that means whatever, whatever. And he said, okay, we'll all, you know, be in touch at some point with what he said. And I don't want that feeling of, I don't know what some point is. And
no,
it's
some, he's
too
just,
painful to,
he's not committable at this point.
Yeah.
And you move on, you date. But right now, since you haven't closed the door for yourself, then you're going to be still longing to hear what he had. You're sort of taking yourself off the market until you go back on the market.
So I do feel like I need to close that door with him for myself so that I can mentally and emotionally, like, move on and know that I'm not going to hear from him. Or
you may hear from him, but you may be taken already.
Well, it's funny you say that, because the next day after I woke up with this feeling of, like, being cleansed of this man's uncommittable energy, I have since dated, three new men have dated me, and they are all masculine men who are wanting all at the same time commitment. And one man on our second date asked me to go on a trip with him. Another man has reached out to me and he, like, I want to see you tomorrow. Like, they're really ramping up, and now I almost feel like, well, I'm kind of enjoying my freedom and this.
You do not have to write. You do not have. You don't have to write him this letter. If you are enjoying it and you feel done, then it just falls flat. Like he just fell off the planet with you. I'm fine with you not writing him the letter, because if you feel it that strongly and you're getting pot because you came to that conclusion in yourself and you feel that strongly about your decision, you will be surprised what starts coming to you because you opened the door.
Oh my gosh, one of these men is so clearly a Pat Allen man. His dating profile said he wanted stability, commitment, or he's talked about being a left-handed man who, you know, goes after what he wants. I'm like, okay, sign me up. So we're seeing each other on Saturday.
Wonderful.
This is
wonderful.
All good, but now I am feeling like I'm in, what I'm balancing right now is, like, I've been single for so long. I've been a career woman, and I have really thought I wanted to, you know, and I have been prioritizing being a woman with a career, but now that I'm like, oh wow, this is a real reality that, like, these men do exist and they are actively, you know, it looks like you're trying to build a future towards something together. But now I'm like, oh man, I really want to, I probably have another year of, you know, working, focusing on my job to get done some things I want to do before I, you know, ultimately I want to work for myself or be remote and be able to, like, you know, acquiesce to the lifestyle of my husband. But how do I navigate the kind of in-between time where these men want to move forward and I'm not really feeling like I'm ready to move forward with them, like into a committed relationship, or I don't know how that, like, this phase of being in a relationship while I'm still very career focused is, I had a past experience where it was like, you saw that side of me, but that's not the side I want you to see for the majority of our hopefully lifelong relationship.
Well, you sound like the guy you want to let go now. These guys are on the page of they want to be partnered and lock that up. And you're uncommittable sounding now.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm okay being a narcissist for now.
You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. If you say, I consciously just want to date for fun, and then you don't ask them for long-term commitment. But and you can be a playgirl too, but if you consciously do it.
Yeah. And these are good men that if I were in that, like, right place and time and a little bit more open, I would be all about it. But right now, I mean, I do run the risk of telling them, and I have had a couple of these conversations with them where I'm like, you know, I'm enjoying our time together. I feel the same way. I'm open to, you know, wherever you want to lead us. I'm also not really feeling in a place right now where I can say that I'm ready to jump into a committed relationship.
How old are you now?
35. And these men 35, are all in their 50s.
And do you plan on having children?
No.
Okay. So that's not but these men might want to have a family.
Yeah. So, I don't think any of them do.
Okay. Okay. Well,
I'm open to it, but I'm not like desperate for it, which
let's
has been,
tell you,
honestly,
a real
part
man.
Of,
A man can steal you away from your job orientation too. So not that you won't have a job and you can't have a career, but you might balance it differently if you fell in love with a man who is on the same page as you have previously said you were, which is wanting to be in a committed relationship.
Okay. Well, I will remain open. I do just feel like my energy is a little mixed right now.
Well, it's mixed because you still got bonded to the first guy who you're letting go. So you're recently available. You're only recently available, right, Kelly?
Yeah. I've also recently kind of determined that before it was like, I had this sense of urgency because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 35. If I do want to have kids or be available to a man who does want kids, then I better like get and focus in this area of my life. But now that I've kind of, you know, decided that I really am okay if that doesn't happen, or I'm at least going to ease up on trying so hard to not let the decision be made for me by Mother Nature. I that's kind of what has put me in this weird, like, back into that narcissistic energy of like, oh,
it's
I want my career and I want to date and have fun.
It's perfectly natural for you to be in your narcissistic self. Now, narcissism isn't a bad thing for those listening. It's healthy to be your healthy narcissist when you're single, because you are your husband and your wife to yourself. You are doing your work and you're taking care of yourself, and you can be dating, and maybe somebody will swing you, but stay out there dating. If you've met some nice men, you might decide that to give up part of your narcissism in order to be partnered. And you might meet somebody who is great about you having a career.
Plus, you can always freeze your eggs, freeze a couple of eggs if you want.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so if I'm understanding, I am, you know, just accepting the fact that I am where I am right now. And when it comes up, if it comes up that these men who are, you know, kind of aggressively trying to move things forward with me, I can just use my tools to communicate with them. Like,
I want you. I want you to also be aware that of you wanted the man who didn't want you, and you're standoffish with the men who want you. I want you to recognize that in yourself and contemplate that. What attracts you to someone who doesn't want you, and what doesn't attract you to the people who want you?
Yeah, and you had recommended I go to Adult Children of Alcoholics, and that I've gone twice, and what a world of difference it's been.
You see yourself.
That really helped. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So you're flirting with the unattainable.
I like the pain.
Yeah.
So that's something to recognize about yourself, and not necessarily lay it on the men. So when these nice men who say they want to be in a committed relationship, what scares you about that?
I just think about, like, right now I have a lot of control over my life and like what it looks like. And
masculine control.
You know, I was raised to be a man.
Yeah, but recognizing it, like, is okay.
I just think of, I don't have any examples in my life of successful marriages or even long-term, you know, committed relationships. And so my perspective of that is, it's either going, like, it will be too good to be true. If it's like a healthy relationship, it's going to crash and burn, or I'll sabotage it, or it will be super boring and I won't, I'll be let down. I think I want this thing. Am I idealizing it? And then I'm just going to be either bored or it's going to be terrible.
Can we just experiment? And the next one that asks you, can you just try? Because it doesn't mean you're going to be locked in forever. Let's see how far you get.
So if I'm asked to be exclusive with a man, just say yes.
Consider it. Say, I'd really like to think about that. I really want to see how
I
feel about
that. I have 3 men right now, and I like them all. I want to see how it develops.
Well, it's like the Olympics, dear. Let the best man win.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. If, like, one last night asked me, like, he was like, I would do that right now. If it was our second date, and he was like, I would be exclusive with you right now. I don't care.
Men know, a good man, healthy man know within 5 dates.
Yeah.
That they want to be with someone. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, how long can I keep, like, drawing this out and being like, thank you so much. I want to, like, I really want to see what these other guys.
You will. You're going to date these other two as well. And somebody will, energetically, they know you're dating. Even if you're not telling them, I've got number one and number two and number three, I want you to start rating them. Who is number one today? Who is number two? And who's number three? And they can jockey as to who switches to number one each time you go out with one.
So then is it fair to say, once I have kind of a nice little track record, or I'm feeling pretty strongly about who my number one is, and then he asks me for exclusivity, then at that point I will give that a shot?
You check with your feelings. You'll know, you'll feel it in your gut. Yeah. Wow, this guy's really, really selling well. He's performing very well. If you want to check in with your very astute masculine side and do an assessment.
You know me too well. Yeah, okay, that's good. With these, okay, so my last question, if I may. With these men tend to be like, they're in their 50s. It's, you know, they're business owners. They've been very masculine, but now they seem very alpha. Especially like this left-handed guy seems very aware that he's an alpha. How does that shift my communication? Like, can I relax a little bit and be more of myself, and then use the tools and the femininity a little bit more when it's like a crucial moment?
Well, hopefully you're always yourself, but within which self? We don't want you to be yourself that you're at when you're at the office giving people orders.
But these men want to engage with me on, like, even about my communication. They're like, oh, the way you speak, like, what would you do if this happened? What about if that happens? And it puts me in this, they're asking me to intellectualize my feminine communication. Do you know what I mean?
You like, just say, oh gosh, that's too heady for me right now. I'm just into feeling good right now. I want you to turn yourself into a play pal, a play thing. Yeah. They need a muse. I want you to feel that you are a potential muse for them.
Okay.
Let them know that you're there to play.
Okay, but sometimes they're like, I want to hear your thoughts on this. And I thought, like,
I appreciate
isn't
that.
Isn't it then feminine say, if I do what they tell me to do?
No, you don't take the bait. You say, well, I appreciate that, but I really don't want to be in my head about that right now. My instinct, my feelings tell me that I don't want to be in my head right now, but I appreciate you asking.
Okay. And they won't
talk to what? Go ahead, Kelly. Yeah.
I said, or shift the language. When they ask you what your thoughts are, turn around and tell them what your feelings are and make sure you outline it. Well, I feel this or I feel that.
Yeah.
My feelings on the matter. Oh, well, the way that hits me is this in my gut, but it's a way you can get back into your feelings.
Okay. I will stay the course.
Don't always take the bait when they want you to be in your head.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
Goodbye.
Keep us posted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, will do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
What you were saying before, Patricia, is it is an interesting concept because I have ladies come at me all the time like, well, he's going to leave if I don't have sex with him. And and here's the thing. He was going to leave anyway. You might want to think about it in that direction. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is they're like, it's so old-fashioned. And I'm like, but, you know, when you look at old-fashioned, 50s, 40s, 30s, that's how things worked. That's how it worked with my grandparents, which were married until they died. And you know, it's interesting, too. You can even look at outside couples, like, for example, and Bancroft and Mel Brooks. They were married until Anne died, and they were married forever. So, you know, there's people out there that, and of course, if you look at their generational time period, that was how it worked. So, it's not a bad thing to not just rock back and, you know, have sex with anybody. You know, the standard thing is what the man's looking for. He's looking for virtue. And virtuous women aren't usually sleepabouts.
Well, what they're looking for often, first and foremost, all men want to have sex. They're built that way. However, the ones that they stay with and want to be in a long-term relationship with will be the virtuous woman you just expressed. Those are the ones they stay with. But any woman can get laid. Anybody can get laid. And that is just the facts of life because there are guys, especially men from the teens to 40s, will be fine having sex with somebody, but that's not who they will stay with.
Right.
Oh, sister. Okay. Well, that was a good follow-up.
It's just very interesting that, you know, they think that it's a very old-fashioned way to be. And I say it worked back then. You know, it's got a track record.
And it works today, too. Now, there are women. It's fine to be, let's say, some of the cougars we deal with. They don't want to be in a committed relationship, but they do want to have a lover. So even then, they do it in a safe way.
Yeah, they have to make a decision on what they want. If you want to be married and have a long-term monogamous relationship, then, you know, you have to hold that back. If you want to be a playgirl, hey, playgirl. But don't expect a committed long-term monogamous relationship out of that. It's rare.
Right. And what happens is, young women who are premenopausal will get bonded with sex. Then they get upset, and then they're pining over the person who had sex with them, but then didn't want to stick around and wanted to continue playing the field. And the women don't understand because they gave themselves to him. But he said he loved me. Well, he loved you in the moment of passion. That's true. That's called lust. It's not really called love. But he can be in lust with you and not be in love with you, because making love is very different than just having sex.
Yeah, that's why the poets and the lyricists and the songwriters have written so many songs about both of those things, you know, lust for kicks. So that's an interesting concept. And one of the other things I have just run into recently with one of my ladies is what I call planning the wedding after the first date.
Right.
I'm like, you're picking out China patterns and he took you for an ice cream cone. Wait a minute, what are we doing here? And that's that other thing too, where the dating one thing, when you're duty dating or when you're looking for a mate and you're dating one, you don't have any options. You don't have any choices. Two is 50-50. And like Dr. Pat says, three is the tiebreaker. So you got to date the three to see. And that's what I tell them, date the three to see. It doesn't mean you're going to be having intercourse with these people. Like, do you have an intercourse on a picnic? How about you go on a picnic with Steve and the movies with Bob and dinner with Mike? Like, you don't have to get busy with them.
Right.
Or have a movie or even go for a walk or get an ice cream cone. This does not mean you engage in sex and China picking. Like, we don't need to China pick. We're not there.
Let me give the number again, Kelly. Let me slip the number again for our callers. Call us, callers, at 323-203-0815. And we'd love to hear from you and give you our take on what's going on with you and your relationships. Go ahead, Kelly.
Did you find that, Patricia, when you're talking with your clients, that you're having that, what I call that instant monogamy?
Yeah, I'm your girlfriend. Oh, we had sex. Oh, that means that I'm your girlfriend. Well, you're the girlfriend for today.
Right. Of the moment.
The moment. The girlfriend for tonight. So anyway, that's,
yeah,
that's,
and my,
that
something interesting when I was a girl. She said everyone that you have intercourse with takes a piece of your soul. And if they don't give you a piece of their soul back, you end up empty and void. That was, you know, her Pat Allenisms before Pat Allen, because, you know, my grandma is gone now. So, you know, she said that. She's like, it's not something you should take lightly. It causes a connection. And it's incredibly difficult sometimes to break. And she was right.
Women bond with sex. And that is just science. That's physiological, biological, chemical phenomenon, that women bond with sex. Now, men, when women think, oh, I'll snare him by having sex with him. No, men do not bond with sex. When they're over 50, they might start bonding with sex because their natural hormones.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I just want to let you guys know, I love the show. I've been following you and Dr. Pat and Patricia and Kelly and Sue for a long time. Actually, Dr. Pat and I and my wife worked together years ago and got us to I Do.
So, oh, good for you.
Happily married to a Pat Allen girl. And I have a question. You know, we do know the tools. We do use the tools. And we're very much in love. All is good. But of course, it's never perfect, as we know. And I'm just wondering, what would your advice be, as to sometimes my wife gets into her masculine in the sense of telling me what to do and mothering me. And sometimes I feel a little disrespected about that. So do you have any kind of advice? Because, you know, like I said, we do know and use the tools, but sometimes there's a slip up. So how could I alert her without hurting her or getting it riled up like that? What would your advice be?
You want to take that one, Kelly?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you do use the tools. So setting the appointment is really important. And you got to remember, too, what Dr. Pat Allen says, if we can't cause somebody pain, we're going to be the one that ends up in pain. And we're going to end up on her couch or some couch talking about it. So I think if you resort back to those tools really firmly and you make that appointment and then you ask her, and don't forget to give her the topic, because that's, you know, the thing where somebody says, so we need to talk, and then they never tell you why, and then it's just this anxiety. So tell her, just tell her, honestly, you know, I'd like to make an appointment to discuss XYZ with you. Is now a good time, or when would be? Hopefully today. And I think that the tools are really effective with that. It gives the person a minute to assimilate that and understand what you're going to talk about and be prepared to respond with her tools since she knows them.
Let's hear an example and we can see practice right here.
Okay. All right. Let me think of one, but I just want to ask you, Kelly, what you just said. Let's say there's an incident in a moment where I feel like you're telling me what to do. You're telling me this is what I'm going to do for you, or this is what you should do, like that kind of. Are you saying, Kelly, that I should just say, wait a minute, I'd like to talk to you about this? Would, in other words, would this be the time, et cetera, use that tool
The time
at that moment, or should I wait?
No, in the moment. If you're in the moment, you do it in the moment, and you don't have to. That is the appointment. You can say, I have something to say about this right now. Because you're in the minute, you're on the subject already.
Right. So you're on the subject. You just use the timeout. You just say, timeout. There's something I want to say regarding this. And address it immediately. Because, you know, those things that you don't address, they fester inside of you. You know,
sure.
The best thing is, don't go to bed angry. Go to bed after you've either agreed to discuss it at another time or once you've discussed it.
Right. Okay. So you're saying, like, say it right in the moment, in using the tools, of course. Hey, I'd like to talk to you about this. Would this be a good time to talk to you?
Not even. I just wanted to tell you what you just said had an effect on me. I want to share that with you. Are you willing to listen?
I see. Rather than saying, I'd like to talk to you about this. Would this be a good time?
No, you're in the moment. It's happening in the moment.
If you're in the moment and the discussion is happening, you get to say it back. I have thoughts and feelings on this. I want to share them.
Okay. All right. Listen, they're like minor, ridiculous things, nothing to complain about, et cetera. But sometimes
the little things add up.
So it could be a little thing. Like today, we were doing the laundry and we're working together. I'm putting clothes away. This is how mundane it is. Okay. It's not a big deal, but just you asked for an example. This is the first one that came up is saying, like, well, I don't like this laundry bag, the way you mix the darks and the whites. I'm gonna buy you a laundry bag. Wait a minute. I happen to like this laundry bag. I don't want another laundry bag, you know? if it's bothering you, I'll separate them myself, et cetera.
Answered it right there. You solved the issue by saying what you would do about it, because it sounds to me like your partner or your wife didn't like some aspect of the laundry bag. But there's no problem too small, by the way, to address it.
There really isn't, but, because all those little things add up, like the toothpaste tube being squished wrong, or the lid being left off, or the toilet seat being left up. You wipe the counter with the wrong kitchen towel, blah, blah, blah. All those things, those little things, they start to pile up. And what is like, you know, a tiny little anthill then becomes a mountain, and they stress the relationship because they're not addressed. Because we think, oh, that's a small thing. I'm being nitpicky.
So well, I want to avoid that kind of nitpickiness, but yet it's like, you know, no, I don't need that. Or, you know, why are you telling me this? I don't need that.
So
it,
you
but
say
it's a tiny thing. And, okay, so here's my question, maybe on what you guys are saying, is do I need to formalize it in that Pat Allen way of saying, hey, I have a feeling about what you just said. Or
not a feeling. I thought this affected me. What you said just affected me. And then you said what you just did, or your action, or your laundry, whatever you just did. I have to say, you can do the timeout symbol that Kelly just said. You can do the T, timeout. I just want to let you know, since you're right in the moment, this is right then. I just want to let you know that I'm fine with my laundry bag, the basket, the way it is. And if you don't want to deal with it, this laundry basket, the way it is, I'm fine handling it completely myself. And then the contract is, this is Pat Allen contracting way. You say, are you okay with that? So then you've closed the deal. And you say, how do you feel about what I just said?
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, I will try to use the tools as we've learned, and to do it in the moment, like you're saying. And like I said, they're minor things. So I mean,
minor things are big deals. When people live under the same roof, you don't want to pile up these little things. So anyway, you can make a contract too if you want her to help you with the laundry. Then you might want to ask to negotiate what kind of laundry basket it is, because if she's not comfortable with that style, then that's an issue. Then that's a negotiation that needs to happen. But if you're willing to take on the task, if she doesn't like it, that style of basket, because it breaks her manicure or something, then there's a reason for her, a moral reason for her, because it's affecting her body or something about her that she's not comfortable with. Then you would take that into consideration. However, if you don't want to change the laundry basket, then don't ask her to either ask her to help you with it, if she's okay with continuing to help you with it. And if she doesn't want to, then you are okay with dealing with your laundry basket yourself.
Got it.
But that's what we call a contract. Mm-hmm. That's a communication contract.
Right. It's a negotiation. We negotiate. We don't, you know, we don't tolerate. We either accept or reject. And to stop us from tolerating, we negotiate. Does that make sense? She has the option to accept or reject your talking point. And so, you know, but like we said, those little things, those are things we tolerate, and they end up becoming a stone in our shoe. And if you've ever had a stone in your shoe, you know, it becomes a problem. Over time, it can become a really big problem. It may seem small, but, you know.
So try to negotiate or talk about something in the moment. If it's in the present, try to close the deal. Just look at it like negotiating a deal. Like we do this together this way, or if we don't do it this way, are you okay with it? How do you feel about that? But come from your head. I don't come from your feelings. That's what you're going to ask her. So you tell her what you just, how that affected you, that she, thank you. You would still thank you for your a suggestion or offer to get me a basket. However, I don't really want another basket. And if you don't want to help me with the way it is now, that's okay. I'm willing to do it. How do you feel about that?
Okay. All right. Well, that is definitely helpful. So I thank you, and definitely I will be applying what you're just saying. So I
awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great show. All right. Thanks again.
Love hearing from the men, too. See, these little things, Kelly, you're so right. All the little things turn into either a stone in your shoe or a thorn under your saddle pad.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, when we go away with those little things and we let them fester and they get stuck in our craw, then the next thing becomes bigger, and then the next thing becomes bigger, and pretty soon it's the elephant in the room. Now we're going to have to talk about this giant elephant that's standing in the room, which is made up all of these little parts that's turned into this elephant.
This contentious feeling between you, and the gap gets wider and wider. Thus,
if laundry day is Thursday and you haven't addressed it, guess what's coming next Thursday? You know, and then now it's again. Okay, so we haven't addressed the issue. So here it is. Here that little monster comes out of the closet and standing there, you know, on your shoulder, like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? So, you know,
but let's say let's address something here too. Instead, that was what he described anyway. We weren't there, but what he described was the wife offering to get him a different laundry basket that would be able to sort the laundry as you throw it in, the lights and darks, from what he said. So if she's offering that, she should have offered it a different way. If the wife were listening, I would tell her, darling, I have an idea for us about the laundry basket here. What I want to get your thoughts on it. If we have the lights and the dark laundry basket that was dual-sided, that when it came laundry day, everything was already pre-sorted. What do you think about that, dear? She would say to him. So that would have been more appropriate for her, instead of just saying, I'm going to get a different laundry basket.
You can appeal to his masculinity by saying, you know what? It would make things go so much faster, and we would have more time to spend together playing.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to make the negotiation something that's appealing, you look at who you're talking to, and you analyze it. What is the situation with this person? What does he like to do? And how can I talk him into having a different laundry sorting system? Because it irritates me, for one, and for number two,
what happened?
I don't know.
There you are. Okay.
Yeah. So it would just make, you know, if you can propose it in such a way where it's like a win-win for everybody, and it's
that's
not
the
so
goal here. Happy. Isn't that the goal with what we do with empowered communication? So there's always our outcome. What we want is the win-win outcome. So
it's very
everybody's
interesting
happy.
Because he did say that she mothered me and I felt disrespected. And that is really the bottom line.
That is. So it did start with her miscommunication or her wants, without considering him. And then if he wanted to clean it up, he has to clean it up on the spot with the cleanup tools.
Right. So both of them kind of got lost the tools for a minute. And that can happen. You know, the tools, the more you use them in your daily life, the easier they are to pull up, access, and utilize. But if you're new to it, or you're just maybe you're in an off mood, you're not feeling 100%, it's easy to lose the tools for a minute, you know, or something bad happening at work, so you're on the edge anyway. And I always remind everybody, mistakes happen, and there's a way to clean them up. We have the cleanup. We have the tool for that too.
The five-step cleanup. That's right.
Yeah, we have the tool for that. We have the tool for, you know, talking in a way like amigo talk, and we have all of our tools. They're very effective if you use them. And, you know, sometimes you're going to be dealing with somebody who doesn't know the tools or doesn't use the tools or is too angry or out of sorts to use it. You have to accept that and, you know, try again.
Try again. That's the main crux of this work, is to never give up on trying to speak rationally. And you're not going to be perfect every time, but it's the goal is to just do it better than you used to.
Yeah. Perfection is, you know, is not something that's even obtainable.
No.
So you just have to do the best you can. We're humans. We're, you know, we're fallible, and we're
And we can always say to our partner, I'm making amends. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I was dealing with the people online to fix the computer printer or whatever was not working. And I just got off the phone with the bank, and I just felt overwhelmed, and I'm sorry, and I will do better next time.
Exactly. 100%. Sometimes that's what you just have to do, but it's a good thing. And while it may feel humbling, it's a growth. It's a way to grow. Pain is, you know, what do the Marines say? Pain is weakness leaving the body. So we feel a little pain. We recognize it and we understand it when we're using the tools, and we go, you know, here's where I was culpable. Here's where I was wrong. Here's where I was the conversational rapist, and, you know, I need to dial it in, or I need to make amends, or I'm going to do better next time because I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that harmful person.
I want to remind everybody about Dr. Pat Allen's book, Getting to I Do. And it's a wonderful book that has been in print for many printings now. It's very popular worldwide. And before we go, we're going to wrap this up. I will say, and due to that last thought, this is very important from the ancient philosopher Lao Tzu, is watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And Dr. Pat adds, in your all areas of your life, in your health, in your banker, your bank account, and all of your relationships. So,
especially the romantic ones.
That being said, we will sign out and see you next week on Empowered Communication, LA Talk Radio.
Follow us on Facebook, and don't forget to go to the website and watch the
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.